Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Welcome to Upfront. I'm Chloe Morgan.
And I'm Rachel O'Sullivan.
It's going down to the final weekend, everyone. Manchester United got the most dramatic stoppage time winner to beat Manchester City and keep the fight going for one more match day. It was a little bit squeaky bum time, but also I knew they'd do it, so it wasn't that much of a squeaky bum time. But it is now Chelsea's title race to lose after beating Arsenal. And this Sunday will be a huge day in more ways than one, with a couple of legends on the way out. Sad times, everyone. We will also talk about the Spurs turnaround as they push Reading through the relegation trapdoor and how the first ever Premier League WSL doubleheader really went. Rach, massive weekend for both ends of the table. It was squeaky bum time for Manchester United. I mean, I was never in any doubt, but I'm assuming that the rest of the population kind of thought that this would be where they came second and Chelsea finally ran away with the title. But Manchester United produced a last-minute goal, Lucia Garcia being the absolute hero that she is. I mean, the celebration, she took off her Man United shirt. She had this beautiful shirt underneath, these messages of support, and it was just like the most incredible atmosphere up north. Like the derby, the sun, the we're still in the title race, the we've actually secured our first Champions League spot. It was the first time they'd beat Man City in the league. It was huge. I mean, Rach, what were your thoughts? It was a little bit of an evenly matched battle, but also I thought Man United were the better team.
I tell you what, I was a little bit worried for United watching it. The longer the game went on and the longer they didn't get another goal. And it was kind of looking like they weren't going to. They were having chances, but they were just missing them, where the ball was just wider, and it just felt like, oh my God, is this going to happen again? Because when Angeldal got that cross come, I mean, it wasn't a shot, but you know, when that went in, I thought, oh my God, because if you remember back to last season when they had the Manchester derby at Lee, United went up 1-0 and then City lost a player, Georgia Stanway got sent off, City scored, and you know, it kind of felt like it was history repeating itself, and were United going to do the same thing that they did last season and not put the game to bed? And what was quite funny was that when Lucia Garcia came on, I put in the WhatsApp group Lucia Garcia to win it, like literally as she was coming on the pitch.
I need to see evidence of that message.
I'll send it you. Yeah. I'll send it you. Yeah. I actually put it on my Instagram. Or should I put it on my Twitter? That's what I did. So I'm a psychic now, in case anyone's wondering. But yeah, that was, oh, it was a testament to United and the difference that they've shown this season, both with mentality and drawing on their experiences. And I think we've talked a lot about that with United this season. Mark Skinner has talked a lot about drawing on their experiences and, you know, using what they've gone through before to learn. So I think we're seeing that in a lot of matches. We're seeing it where they kept pushing against Villa and got the goal at the death. We're seeing it this game where they've literally been in the same scenario, Man City down to 10, at Lee, drawing the game, and they use that experience. And I think that's what's kind of pushed them so much further this season. And that's what, you know, they deserve to still be in this title race at the final weekend. So I'm so glad it went the way it went. But my God, the drama, it just made you kind of sit there going, God, I love football.
It was just that, I think you're completely right. It was the belief that they had. I mean, they'd scored within 2 minutes. I mean, but that had come from some beautiful link-up play, them being very direct, them being very, we need to do the business. Otherwise, if we don't do the business, we're out of the race. And you could see that. The mentality is 100% there. And I think a lot of that does come down to Skinner. And also, it is all to play for now. It is that final weekend. And Chelsea Reading is not a done and dusted deal. As far, yeah, I know how badly Reading are perhaps doing, and I know how strong Chelsea are perhaps doing also, but you don't actually know what is going to happen. Like, everything rests on that game for both teams, so it is a scary one. But yeah, I mean, going back to that first chance, 2 minutes, I mean, lad, an absolute bloody rocket out of nowhere, just disgusting. But I think it was the drama of the game as well, because then you also had the Paris going one-on-one, and then Roebuck having the time of her life just skipping up the field into some kind of like striker type position, but she was so far away from the ball, like you couldn't see her starting position from the start of the screen, but she must have been on her line, because the amount of time that it took her to actually get there and wipe Paris out completely, I was like, mate, what on earth are you thinking?
Red carded.
But also a really great opportunity for youngster, 4-year-old Kiara Keeson to step in goal and have the absolute, well, she had a really good game, but she was unfortunate, obviously, to not have the win under her belt. Yeah.
Like, talk about pressure. You know, what a game to come in on. I feel like she played, excuse me, a really important game or two last season. Obviously, there was injuries last season, but I feel like the game she had to come on for, I can't remember who it was. Was it Chelsea? But like, talk about stepping into important games. So big up her. She made some good saves as well. But yeah, I just thought Roebuck, rush of blood to the head. I thought it was interesting that Gareth Taylor tried to say it was an orange card, and it was a bit harsh. But for me, it was nailed on. You can't do that. Like, you can't come flying out of your goal like that, slide into a player, completely miss the ball. And just give the referee that kind of decision to make. There's only going to be one. So I have to say, though, credit to City when she did go off. They didn't look like they were down to 10. I thought that was really impressive. There was a real fight about them. I thought United were great in the first half, and they've been doing that really well this season. They did the same in the FA Cup final. They come out the traps fast, and they took their chance with Hayley Ladd. I just think it's taking more of those chances, and maybe that's what let them down in the FA Cup final as well, is taking those chances that they're creating, and that will frustrate them. And you know what? Maybe next season, we're going to see them start scoring more goals in these matches, because they'll have learned from those experiences. And you know, as I keep banging on about, that seems to be the thing about Manchester United season, is learning quickly, which I think has been really impressive.
Well, an experienced side who have not learnt quickly and now find themselves out of Champions League football for the first time since 2014 are Man City. So unless they score, I think it's about
11.
12 goals, yeah, against Everton in their final game of the season. They are unlikely to be making it into European football next year. So,
and Arsenal
not completely
lose,
out.
So a few things to go their way.
There's a couple of different variations, but I'm going to assume and safely put my flag in the sand that Man City will not be in Europe next year. But another big clash of the titans, Chelsea, Arsenal. Chelsea walking away with the points, 2-0 against Arsenal at King's Meadow. Massive crowd, massive atmosphere. They are obviously hot on the heels of wanting to secure another title trophy. They do not want this to be United's first debut into getting some silverware. So, I mean, Rach, what did you think of this game? I think I was expecting more from Arsenal, but then you've also got to appreciate that they've got about three players left and everyone else is just completely injured. So what are you going to do?
I like the way you said Clash of the Titans, because I feel like it was this a big titan coming up against like a titan with a broken shield and a broken sword and like limping into this battle. Like, it wasn't quite
black
as
eyes.
It wasn't as classic as I was maybe we'd normally expect from an Arsenal Chelsea battle. And for those of you maybe living under a rock, Leovaldi was out for the rest of the season after the Everton game. So just another player to add to Arsenal FC, Injury FC's ever-growing list of players. The good news is, though, they do think that she'll make it back in time for the World Cup, because when that, I mean, you saw that, like, we shared the clip we were chatting about in the WhatsApp group. When we saw that, we kind of thought, oh God, that's her out. Like, that's her World Cup, the season. It looked like a bad injury on her ankle. So at least there's some silver lining that she should hopefully make it back for the World Cup. But yeah, I felt like the straw that broke the camel's back. Do you know what I mean? There's only so much switching around, variety, pulling players in, you know, that you can do. And when you lose your midfielder like that, I mean, the fact that they were doing so well without, say, Kim Little in that midfield, that key player, Leovaldi is a similar kind of key role in the team, pulling the strings, and to have her out as well. It kind of felt a bit inevitable that Chelsea were going to win that match. However, I'd be frustrated as an Arsenal fan and an Arsenal player, because they had chances. They had chances to score, and they had very, very good chances to score. So to come away out of that losing and not even getting on the score sheet. I mean, Katie McCabe missing a penalty. I mean, I feel like that's kind of, you know, putting some spice on the Katie McCabe to Chelsea
miss.
Rumor. Yeah, that was a horrendous penalty. Maybe she is going
that
to Chelsea.
That was like an obvious miss. That was like she blindfolded herself on the run-up. It was just like the most bizarre. Even when I was watching the replay back, and like the Chelsea commentator on the Chelsea channel was saying, she has missed by a mile. Like, they were taking the piss out of her. Like, it was poor. Like, I expect more from, like, what was going on there? Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like there was a lot. It felt like the players going, you know, when they were having chances, Stina Blackstenius, Caitlin Ford, Frieda Manum, Katie McCabe. It almost felt like, I haven't seen them that nervous before almost. It was like, we have to score. Do you know that kind of way? Like, and maybe there is a case of that. Maybe there's a case of carrying that kind of adversity and that stress of everything that's going on. You could see how the Volti injury affected the team when it happened. They were all kind of standing there holding their faces. They were having a go at Aki Pieper-Jones. Like, mentally Arsenal weren't quite there.
Yeah, and in a way, the pressure was on them. They were obviously the first game last weekend. They didn't know what the result was going to be for the Man City position. So their Champions League spot and things weren't secure. So for them, you know, regardless of their title hopes kind of not being there anymore, like, Champions League football was still on the line at that point. So
they still could have won the title. This is what's mad. I think had Chelsea lost both matches, I mean, obviously it was going to be very difficult for Chelsea to lose both matches and United to lose both matches, but Arsenal was technically still in with like the tiniest reaching distance of even the title, which is mad. But I think, I mean, I guess for them, the fact that, you know, Man City didn't win will be a huge weight off, because it was in their hands to secure Champions League. And yeah, they just felt nervous. They didn't really turn up. But equally, credit to Chelsea. Chelsea have started slow in the last few matches, and they did not start slow in this match. They started quick. They were out the blocks. Guro Wrighton was being a pest. Pernille Harder, Sam Kerr, you know, I just thought they put pressure on the Arsenal backline so early, and that backline looked shaky. I do feel like there's often a mistake or two in that back line. It would have been nervous watching for Arsenal fans, but you know, it did feel like there was only going to be one outcome, and it was a bit of a fairy tale ending, I think, as well. you know, with Magda Eriksson and Pernilla Harder leaving, for her to get her first goal of the season, Magda Eriksson, at Chelsea at home in her final game against Arsenal, you know, you can't write that stuff.
It was a mosh. It was definitely a mosh. The celebration was a lot, and especially obviously being at King's Meadow, the crowd went absolutely mental, and rightly so. But I think before we touch on obviously what they're up to, where they're going, all the kind of announcements that's been taking place about the couple, I mean, we've got to touch on Wrighton. I mean, the impact that this kid continues to keep having. I mean, she's a settling, comfortable presence with the squad now because she's just so consistent. You know, when Emma Hayes talks about, you know, Kerr has this responsibility on her shoulders to deliver every single game, and she does that. She takes that responsibility on board and she delivers. Wrighton now, I think, is up there with Kerr as being a player that is dependable, reliable, and who will produce results. I mean, it's not only just the goal scoring ability, but it's the crosses, the deliveries, the set pieces, like, and it's just pinpoint accuracy as well. It's the consistency of that. I just think she's been so important. Even getting the opener against Everton a couple of weeks back, I mean, she was the settling force because they were struggling to find their way through. And now again, in another big game, she steps up to the plate and delivers the first goal. And what a goal it was. I mean, delivered high into the box. She sort of slides in, sending Zins has already headed one way, she's going the other way, and it just creeps into the bottom corner, and it's the most beautiful goal. It's one of the most beautiful goals I've seen. It was just technically stunning, but I don't think we can underestimate just how amazing she's been for that squad.
Dare I say their best player this season?
Oof, we're putting her down as what, player of the season
for Chelsea
in the WSL or just for Chelsea? Okay, cool.
Yeah, okay. I just think, you know, a lot of the time we do talk about the goal scorers a lot, obviously, understandably. But yeah, her impact, and you know, we talk a lot about how Sam Kerr kind of had to carry this Chelsea team with a lot of the injuries. But Guro Wrighton was right up there shouldering the burden with her, I think. And I think together, their partnership this season has been superb. And I know she's obviously gotten a huge amount of assists, and a lot of those assists came in the thrashing of Leicester early on in the season. But, you know, she's assisting in important games. She's scoring important goals. So yeah, maybe I'll get abused for this again, but I'd put her up there as Chelsea's best player this season.
Do you know what, Rach? I'm going to back you, okay?
If yes.
You get abused for that, okay? I'm getting abused for that. We're in this together, all right? We're a team, okay? In it till the end, because I rate that in a big way. But I mean, speaking of other very important, very integral, historic players who are now both moving on, finding pastures new, but there's no confirmed details yet as to where they're heading. Pernille and Eriksson, like, we're not going to see them on any more KFC adverts. And that, for me, is the most devastating thing about them leaving, if I'm honest. A few rumours about them going off to Bayern Munich, but nothing confirmed. I think they're obviously going to try and find the same club. I can't imagine that they'll be separating. What kind of impact do you think that's going to have on Chelsea going forwards for next season?
Firstly, I'm devastated that they're leaving. I loved them, thought they were a great addition to the league. To have players like that and players who use their platforms the way they do, it just means I'll be following, let's be real, the German league more, because I do think Bayern is the most likely club that they're going to. They have been linked to a lot of clubs. I think the fact that they're both at the end of their contract is now getting them free, like, my God, what an absolute insane bargain. I think you can't just simply replace them. They're not the kind of players that you can just replace. You look for something different and you kind of rebuild. It's a bit like Taylor trying to replace Walsh. Like, you just can't do that. And I also think that they bring so much more in terms of off the pitch as well. Their leadership, their experience. It's pretty hard to just simply replace that kind of player or players. I don't think Harder ever fully got to show what she could do. I think, you know, towards the end of this season, we're seeing more of that now, and God, I wish she'd had more time. I think it was a combination of injury, but also it took Emma Hayes, I think, a little while to figure out how to get her to fit in the team. And I think Pernille Harder is the kind of player that you build a team around. So I think maybe that's why we didn't necessarily see she didn't get to flex her muscles, I think, as much as we would have liked, because she is still one of the best players in the world. So I'm going to miss seeing her in the WSL. I also think credit to Chelsea for
unless, of course, they miraculously decide to stay in the WSL. That,
oh, stop.
Could
you imagine?
We've got so much drama. Arsenal are missing a lot of players.
Yes, that would be absolutely ridiculous. Could you imagine? Oh my God, we've all been looking at like Barcelona, Lyon, Bayern. What language are they going to learn next? And they move across London.
A red herring, if you like.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, you heard it here first. But no, I was going to give credit to Chelsea for the way that they gave them the send-off that they did. I think it's obviously going to be difficult because they're leaving together. They are together. But I feel like their service to the club is slightly different given Eriksen has been there twice the time, has been there 6 years and captain, and Harder's been there three. Both have immeasurably impacted the club. But like, I thought they managed that really, really well. They kind of gave Eriksen more time, more of a platform, but equally, you know, gave Harder the plaudits she deserves as well. And I thought it was lovely at King's Meadow that they were presented with their shirts. They were given time to talk to the fans. Yeah, it was just really, really nicely done. And I think a blueprint for other clubs if they're losing a legend or you know, players from their club, because there's nothing worse than finding out at the end of the season, after, you know, the season's over or you've played your last home game, that a player that you love dearly is leaving. So I think hats off to Chelsea because they absolutely nailed that. And I'll be honest, I welled up a few times watching some of the videos. They were very emotional. So I can't imagine how Chelsea fans are feeling now losing them too.
Well, I think it's a look ahead, isn't it, to sort of the next captaincy. I mean, she's obviously presided over such an incredibly successful period of time for them, and the relationships that she would have developed with Emma Hayes in sort of, you know, managing the players, helping the players, supporting them. So, you know, stepping in now, I mean, you're probably looking at someone like Millie Bright, but Millie Bright also absent at the moment. So who's going to be stepping in the interim while she sorts out her injury? So
probably, I reckon, Maren Mjelde might take the armband. She spoke about the leadership that she has in that squad, and she mentioned Maren and she mentioned Millie, so maybe we'll see her with
or
the
Kerr.
I still think it'll be probably Millie next season when they're back and fit. I think Millie will take the armband.
And by that point, Millie will have also had maybe quite a lot of experience captaining the Lionesses to
quite possibly,
their first
yes, exactly.
World Cup gold.
Okay, we're going there.
Right, it's down to the final week. This weekend, everything's going to be decided. Who are we saying, Manchester United or Chelsea for the title?
Chelsea, been saying it all season.
Oh, God, say something new, like United.
Sorry, who are you going to say? You say something new. You've been saying United all the season as well. We're both stuck on the same record.
All right, fine. Okay, well, I'm putting a beer on it, okay? So, on Sunday, a beer's on the line. Man United to win, you say Chelsea. And I'm going to make it, I mean, an expensive beer as well. Like a pint of like Hackney Pale Ale. Like one of those like 8%ers, like with like stout.
Snazzy.
And like hints of vanilla in it and stuff. Yeah. Mm. And also some like nibbles like wasabi peas. So,
okay.
Yeah, I want it to be a full-on experience actually when I celebrate Manchester United winning the title for the first time.
Well, if you're going to be celebrating on Sunday, you'll be on your own because the games are on Saturday. So I'll be putting a bottle of wine on it, a nice Rioja. And I'll be celebrating that on Saturday while you wait until Sunday.
It just makes sense to say Sunday because that's when all games should be played. It's the holy day of football.
Listen, I get confused as well. Last weekend, I was going to Spurs on Sunday rather than Saturday and I was working the game. So I'm glad someone pointed that out.
Oh, even the professionals make mistakes.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f***
are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Drama at the other end of the table. Leicester have a massive, massive slip up. The relegation battle is still alive, but we will need a major upset on the final day to shake things up. Leicester, mate, you lost 2-1 against West Ham. It was your chance to really secure your season, to make sure that you were not going to be relegated back down to the Championship, that you have narrowly escaped now for a number of seasons. But I just feel like you're trying to keep it sexy until the last minute. Like, but also, Reading, like, you've now got Chelsea to face, and it is like an all or nothing match. Chelsea for the title, Reading for the relegation. I mean, Rach, we were speaking a little bit about the Leicester game beforehand. Like, the stats in that game are absolute madness. Like, on paper, if you didn't watch the game and just had a look at the stats, or you'd spoken to anyone, you'd think that actually that was Leicester's game. And I mean, tell us, please go over them.
66% possession for Leicester, 23 shots to West Ham's 5. 5 of those 23 shots were on target to West Ham's 3. And they had 10 corners to West Ham's 2.
You were giving me very fuck? Jeff Stelling type vibes there with that.
Has there been a red? But someone else. There was a red, actually, come to think of it. Right at the end, Ruby Mays gets a second yellow and gets a red card. 2 red cards in a day. I don't think we've seen that in the WSL.
She's young. You've got to have that. You've got to have that experience, that hot-headedness at some point to learn.
She's having that kind of, fucking how are we not winning this match kind of vibes. I don't want to be here anymore.
I don't blame her. I rate that energy.
I don't know how Leicester didn't win that game. They had one job, to secure WSL status, and going up against a team who hasn't won a WSL game this year, you would have thought that they were gonna put it to bed. And to be honest, I feel like talking to Kelly Chambers after the Reading game on Saturday, she was kind of like, "Well, you know, nothing's totally finished," but at the same time, like, really,
she sounds very calm for a person facing relegation. Well, you know.
But I feel like she had time to prepare for it. They didn't do their job against Spurs, and I feel like even she was like, "Come on, Leicester will have to beat West Ham in this situation," and they didn't. So now it swings back, pressure on Reading to just beat Chelsea. You know, no big deal.
It was just, I think that whole Leicester game was just such an unusual situation. I mean, you had, Mace being sent off. You had Mackenzie Arnold coming out of her. I mean, it wasn't, I don't even think she attempted to get the ball. I think she just wanted to clatter into Eileen Whelan, obviously giving away the penalty. It was just like the most bizarre situation ever. And it just summed up a very bizarre end to the season at this end of the table. And Spurs, obviously they had, I mean, they picked up the points. Well done to them. A really kind of robust win against Reading. Mm-hmm. 4-1. Bethany England obviously being their saviour again. I mean, she's pretty much been their saviour in every single game since she started. Very much setting out a big campaign for her inclusion in the Lionesses squad, because it is all to play for now with the amount of injuries that we've got. But going back to Spurs, I mean, obviously it was the first time that a Premier League and WSL club had got together for a doubleheader at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, which is a beautiful stadium, beautiful environment to be around. The men's team lost their game. I think there was a pretty decent crowd. I'm hearing sort of 60, 70,000 people plus at that game. But by the time the WSL match started, just over 6,000 fans still at the stadium. So not the greatest turnout for what I think Spurs thought was going to be this big sort of movement, this big sort of show of like how collaborative they're now being with their women's side. But it just didn't hit the mark, I don't think, Rach.
It was a nice idea. I think it was poorly executed. I think, and it was announced quite late, right? It was only like a few weeks back that they announced it was happening. So part of me thinks there was an element of, we're putting the women's team in after the men's team, that'll market itself. And I'm not really sure it did. You know, I think maybe given Spurs probably just out of relegation issues at this stage, maybe there didn't seem to be as much on the game. Maybe Reading aren't going to draw that kind of crowd, but it wasn't brilliant. I think, you know, there were hiccups in a lot of areas, not just kind of fans, but also media stuff. Wasn't brilliant. You know, when the men's football journalists get like 3-course meals and we get trays of sandwiches, it kind of shows disparity between the two teams quite starkly.
That's not like Spurs. That wasn't like Spurs when I was there.
And then the media room gets closed before final whistle, so you can't go back and write up your stories and stuff. So that was just a bit like just a few hiccups here and there. And I think if you're going to do something like that, it needs to be planned well in advance and it needs to be well planned. You know, and it, you know, I had a lot of people on my timeline saying, oh, people didn't stay, the crowd's shit. And I think, you know, I saw a figure floating around of over 6,000 staying at the game. And that's better than previous crowds they've had when they played there. I was there for their game against Brighton, I think it was. And that was a better crowd. It's just the difference is everyone's kind of smattered around the place, you know, and it just doesn't look great. They tried to bring everyone down to the first kind of tier, but it just doesn't look great then because it just means fans are kind of dotted around and, yeah, probably just doesn't have quite the impact that they were hoping.
No, it didn't hit the mark at all. Lessons have been learned, though. It's the first time it's happened, so we've got to take that positive away from it, and also a win at the stadium as well, which are that, you know, Spurs have struggled with getting positive results at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, mainly because they choose to play Arsenal there, and that's a game they're not going to win anytime soon. But here we are, 4-1, very impressive. So hopefully that might encourage maybe more people to come down and also encourage other clubs to do doubleheaders. I mean, a doubleheader at somewhere like the Emirates, you know, Stamford Bridge would be absolutely insane going forward. So that is something on the cards. But it'd be interesting, actually. I didn't have a look at the actual state of the pitch, but how quickly they have to turn around the pitch after it's been absolutely chewed up by all the men, like 22 men for an hour and a half or so, and then to quickly turn that around for the women's game, given that we've got just a spate of ACL injuries, having a pitch that's literally just been played up and chewed up is also another factor to consider there. One more thing before we go. Speaking of broader marketing of the women's game, it was reported on Monday that DAZN will be putting the majority of Champions League games behind a paywall next season. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I have enjoyed massively watching the Champions League women's football on YouTube for free. But DAZN have said the time is right to accelerate the value of the women's game. So 19 games will remain free on YouTube, including all of the knockouts, but 49 will now only be available if you pay £9.99 for a DAZN subscription. To be honest, I think it's fair. They are providing a top quality product now. You need to pay for things like that. I think it's only the right thing to do. And I think the only concern that I do have a little bit is that you've got now sort of, you know, BT, BBC, you've got the Sky covering these games, and the cost of all of these different subscriptions massively adds up. And I think that's for the men's and the women's game, but what you are going to start to find is that you're paying about £100 a month just to access women's football. Like, I mean, that in itself is madness and suggests to me that we're having a bit of a crisis in terms of the accessibility of the game online, regardless of men's and women's football. I mean, Rach, what are your thoughts? Do you think it should be free or do you think actually it deserves a paywall?
I understand why they're doing it because they want to make money and I'm pretty sure they've made big losses, I think was recently reported. Part of me wonders if it's too soon because the interest in the Champions League has grown quite a bit over the last year or two. And I wonder if maybe after the World Cup or give it another year, not after the World Cup, but a year kind of after the World Cup, maybe we'd then have more people willing to pay for those 49 matches, because I guess the difficulty is if you're following your team, I do wonder if a team package would have been a good idea, but how many people you might lose on those matches potentially. But equally, I think it's good that they're keeping the knockout games. That's where you're going to get big eyes and big numbers. So I can understand it. But yeah, that wider problem of just having to spend a lot of money to watch football is not just for women's football, but for men's football as well. So I can understand that that's going to be frustrating. And I also think, to be honest, we're going to need, I know you say it's a very good quality product, it is, but we're going to need more if it's being paid for. You need half an hour before, you need halftime analysis, you need full-time analysis. And I think people will be expecting that if they're going to be paying for it. I think it's on some of the streams, but not necessarily all of them. I know I've pressed play when it's literally just kicking off. So I think people will want more around that. And I imagine if people are paying a subscription, that will be thought about.
Massively. I do think that it does miss that additional kind of build-up, the discussion, the analysis, things like that. It does just, it cuts to the feed, and then all of a sudden you're into the game, and there's no kind of like, okay, what's going on? Who's happening? Is there changes to the squad? It's just, this is the information. So, yeah, 100%. I think it's an interesting call, I think, just off the back of, you know, what Infantino, the man who we all love to hate, was saying about the undervaluing of some of the rights and the sort of offers that people were putting in for the broadcasting rights for the Women's World Cup this year, and sort of how to value that and whether it's being undervalued or whether we should be charging more or less or whatever it is. So
I thought a lot of the undervaluing of the Women's World Cup is because of FIFA and Infantino. So while the message he's saying makes sense, the reason it's being undervalued is because they used to just wrap all of the women's rights into the men's deals. So technically they weren't being paid for, and now suddenly they're demanding a lot more money. So, you know, it's kind of, you've made your bed, but equally we all expect more investment, and we want people to be paying what it's worth for women's football. It's just when it comes from someone like Infantino, it's like, well, you are kind of one of the reasons it's being undervalued. So this kind of, I'm now a feminist, is not really washing with a lot of people, I think.
Oh, Infantino is just such a hero in the feminist space. Yeah, okay, well, we will all be paying for our subscriptions as of September, I'm assuming. Well, I will be. Rach, you can share mine. Are we allowed to say that online? Is that illegal?
No, we won't do that. Wink.
All right, where are you going to be this weekend then, when you finally see Manchester United lift the trophy? Where will you be? It'll be one of those moments. Where were you
I'm
when this
planning
happened?
To watch Chelsea lift it at Reading.
Weird. I feel like you're at the wrong place, but cool, you do you, hon. I will be at home on the sofa with a beer, glass of champagne, ready, on ice, popping, with a, you know, a couple of banners going, that kind of thing, ready to see in the debut for Man United, obviously. Right, well, the next time I speak to you, we will literally know who's right and who's got that very expensive Hackney beer. So I'm stay excited. Tuned. We'll catch up with you next week. If you've got any questions for us before then, tweet us at Football Ramble, Rach is at Girls on the Ball, and I am at Morgie_89. See you soon.
Upfront is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.